Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. And we're going to get started with a word of prayer here this afternoon. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call this afternoon. You can call us 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we're going to go ahead and open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. I just pray, bless the program this afternoon. Use it for your glory. We just thank you for the opportunity we have. And help us, again, to be a blessing and encouragement. Somebody help us to point people to Christ through the things that we talk about. And we just thank you for all you've done for us. We thank you for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, it's good to be with you today. And boy, what a beautiful day here in northeastern Ohio after this long, hot, humid spell that we've been through. It's just kind of nice. These are the kind of days that you just live for, I think. It's just so nice out, comfortable temperature, low 70s. I think it was 73 on my thermometer in my car when I pulled into the parking lot, and the humidity's down a little bit. And boy, it just felt like I was back in the Samoan Islands there for a while, except that it was even warmer than there when my wife and I were missionaries in the Samoan Islands. Most of our temperatures were in the 80s, I think, most year round, and the humidity was generally 99 plus, I think, most of the year. So it was a pretty warm, humid place. We didn't get up into the 90s. I mean, high 80s was for us in the Samoan Islands. We were about 13 degrees south of the equator. And in fact, if you look where Hawaii is and you head toward New Zealand, about two-thirds of the way to New Zealand, just south of the equator, you might have thought it would have been a lot warmer, but we were surrounded by water. And so the trade winds, especially when they were blowing, kept it a little more comfortable. But yeah, the humidity, just, you could cut it with a knife sometimes. And I remember we sent some towels that had some Samoan designs and stuff back one time to our family for Christmas. And my mom, when we talked to her next, had opportunity. This was before you could call around the world as easily as you do now. I think it cost us $20 a minute to call the States from there at the time, and that was cheaper than calling there from the States. But my mom actually asked us if those might have gotten wet or something, because she had to throw them in the dryer when they arrived here in Ohio. So it was kind of interesting. But anyway, it's nice to have a little break in the humidity here today, and it's nice to be able to see the cooler temperatures. Well, we're going to look at a couple of things here today. Again, as I said, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in the light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. And I want to remind you, you can check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/livewithpastoral. That's facebook.com/livewithpastoral. And for whatever reason, the computer running slow today, took us a little time, but got our Facebook Live broadcast running right now. And so you can listen or watch online as well at facebook.com/livewithpastoral. And of course, also sponsored by the Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor, and certainly invite you to visit us. We meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located in northern Summit County, right off from Interstate 77, and also the Ohio Turnpike, right where they meet at 5171 Brecksville Road. We'll have some more of that information here a little bit later on. And I wanted to mention, too, that pray for us. This is July, and we're still in early July, but coming up at the end of the month, we have the Summit County Fair is going to be starting. And I thought I had the dates right here. There they are. The Summit County Fair is starting July the 24th through the 29th. That's starting on a Tuesday, running through Sunday, and our church is going to have a booth there again this year. And I should be there most of the time with the exception of Friday night Sunday during the day. So, but we'll have people there from the church. But we'd love to have you stop by. That's the Summit County Fair, July 24th through 29th. You can find our booth. We should be in the same place we've been previously, which would put us right there as you're coming in at the main gates. And so if you get a chance to visit out there, we'd love to meet you. And let's see, we might have some other things coming up here in the course of the month to share with you. So pray for us and also pray for the program. And pray we could be a blessing and encouragement to people. Also want to thank East Coast Pizza out in Garfield Heights. You can find them at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can give them a call for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. That's East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. Call for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. All right, well, all that stuff out of the way, jump into a couple of things here. Been exciting watching what's happening on the national scene with the considerations of several people for governor. And I guess President Trump has narrowed it down to three people. All of them seem to be constitutionalists. And, you know, the thing that we mean when we say constitutionalist is somebody that adheres to the Constitution. And I think a way that we can kind of look at it, it would be an analogous to somebody who's a fundamental or an evangelical Christian that holds to the Word of God rather than changing the Word of God to fit what they want it to say. And there's always people out there that do that. I mentioned, oh, I think it was last winter, about hearing a guy talked about gospel tracts, Bible tracts, and he said, perhaps you've seen one of these in a gas station or something. And then he went through talking about how it had the plan of salvation, you know, where it talks about how, you know, we've all sinned and come short of God's glory, and then it talks about the wages of sin is death, and then, of course, how that Christ died on the cross and shed his blood to pay for our sins, and then a challenge, you know, or a thing to confess your sin to God and turn yourself over to him, put your faith in Christ as your Savior, believing that Christ died on the cross and was buried and rose again the third day. And it's going through the plan of salvation. And he said, no, there's nothing there that I would necessarily disagree with. Then he went on to disagree with the entire thing and tried to say that salvation was achieved by doing good deeds for good people, and that if you just prayed some kind of prayer, that's a selfish thing, talking about something in heaven that's of no earthly good. And see, there's a lot of people out there like that. They deny the Word of God. They change it and manipulate it to fit their needs. They take things out of context. And we understand that we need to interpret the Word of God not according to the way we want it to be, but in regards to what it says. And you know, quite frankly, there's things in the Bible that if I could, I would change, because sometimes I'm not comfortable with some of the things. And you say, well, wait a minute, you're a pastor and you're not comfortable with some of the things that are in the Bible? Well, I'm not comfortable with the fact that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that people who don't trust Christ as their Savior are going to wind up in hell for all eternity. That's not a comfortable thought, but nevertheless, it is there. And we have to be aware of it. But that's why Paul told Timothy, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, he said in verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, this is something that we should be doing, studying the Word of God, rightly dividing it. And rightly dividing it doesn't mean reading into it what we want. And that's what I was talking about a constitutionalist before I get too far away there. It's easy to follow this path here in the Scriptures, talking about studying the Word of God. But again, pray for President Trump as he makes the decision amongst these people. And my understanding is that the short list that he has is we have constitutionalists. These are people who study the Constitution, and they allow the Constitution to instruct them and to share or to show them how they should make their decisions. Their decisions should be according to the written word of the United States Constitution. And that's what I said, that's analogous to, like, in Christianity. I guess this, you could say that's the judicial analogy of, in Christianity, shaping what you believe and what you teach, what you preach, based on what the Word of God has to say rather than what you want it to say. Give you an example. I knew a guy, he's with the Lord now, and he used to talk about the difference between making things a pretext versus what they actually say. And he would say, you know, when we take things out of context, you know, the Bible says that Cain killed his brother Abel, which it does. And then it says in another location, go thou and do likewise, which it does. And then it says, what thou, something to the effect of what thou doest, do quickly. Well, that's all in the Scriptures, but those are taken out of context. And when you take a verse out of context, you know, or as they say, when you take a text out of context, it becomes a pretext. And some people do that. They'll pick and choose. I remember hearing a guy preaching on something one time, and he read a verse that in the Psalms that happened to mention a lion. I think it's something about a lion in the streets, and it mentioned the word lion. And so he took the phrase of the lion, and he just started, his whole sermon was based on, you know, different types of lions and enemies and things we have to watch out for. Of course, number one, you know, the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And he was talking about other types of dangerous lions. And it wasn't a bad message. It's just that the text that he had nothing really to do with the message other than it gave him the word lion. He could have used any verse in the Bible that had the word lion in it, and it would have been just as effective. In fact, I think it would have been more effective if he'd have started with the verse that said that the devil as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour, because that had more to do with looking at the direction that his message went. But in his case, at least his theology was correct, even if the text really didn't have a whole lot to do with his point or what he was preaching on. But we have to be careful, because people will take a text out of context or another danger. This is a danger that people will fall into sometimes, is that when they're trying to put together a message, whether as a pastor putting together, you know, a sermon on Sunday morning, Sunday night, whatever, midweek service, or a Sunday school teacher even, putting together a Sunday school lesson, or perhaps somebody doing a devotional at a Bible study, they'll come up with an idea, they'll come up with a thought, and then they will go to the Scriptures, and they will find verses to support their thought or their idea. And, you know, if your thought is in line with the Scriptures, that's not bad. But if you're like that, what that friend of mine said when he said, you know, the Bible says that Cain killed his brother, you know, because we know the story where Cain killed Abel there in Genesis. And that's the first, of course, first murder recorded in the Bible. And, you know, we could find that and say, see, he killed his brother, and then go and find another thing. But the problem is, people don't go back to the Scriptures to compare what the Bible has to say. I remember when I was in the Air Force, I was stationed in England, and the church that I rededicated my life to the Lord in, and actually even surrendered to full-time Christian service in, was a little missions church that was started by a missionary out of Georgia. And he started a little independent Baptist church just off base. And I was stationed at RAF Chicksands, and we were had a little church there. We were just south of Bedford, England. If you read Pilgrim's Progress, and that's where John Bunyan lived and was imprisoned in the Bedford Jail where he wrote Pilgrim's Progress. And it's a very historic area in that sense, but about 60 miles, 50 miles, I guess, north of London. And I remember that we had a family that came to the church, and they had been going to the base chapel to I don't know if I can even call it a Protestant service. It was the non-Catholic service, I guess would be what it was. It was the non-Catholic service. And they said that the first week when they went there, they went to the chapel service, and they carried their Bibles with them. And they didn't think too much of it, but they realized that they never opened them during the entire service. The next week they went, they carried their Bibles with them, and they realized that they were the only people, except for, I think, the pastor, the chaplain, that had a Bible in the auditorium. They were the only people. And the following week, I think it was, they were there, and they noticed that people were looking at them funny when they were carrying their Bibles in. And so they stopped taking their Bible because nobody used them, and the chaplain wasn't even using it that much. And just kind of stringing together a number of sort of feel-good thoughts. And Paul warned about that, the same passage where, or chapter, not chapter, but the same book, 2 Timothy, where he was telling Timothy to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. A little further on in chapter 4, he said this. He said in chapter 4, starting verse 1, I charge thee before God, but in the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And then he says this, for the time, in verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Now, this is the problem with a lot of churches today, and I know I started talking about the Supreme Court there and praying for the choices there. We want people who are going to allow the Constitution to guide them. Just like here as Christians, we want the Bible to guide us. And this is what Paul is saying here to Timothy as a pastor. Preach the word, he says. And he warns, a time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. I remember when I came back from the Air Force, and my grandmother was attending this church. It was over in Cuyahoga Falls at the time. It's not there anymore. And they called themselves the New Church. And they were new, and then they were gone. And I don't know how long they lasted, but it was called the New Church. And I went with her one time. She wanted me to go with her. And because I was a visitor, they gave me a visitor card and a little brochure on the church. And I remember reading this thing. It said that here at the New Church, we don't believe in doctrine. They basically, it said that they believe that doctrine was divisive and doctrine caused arguments, basically. So at the New Church, they didn't teach or preach doctrine. They just concentrated on the love of the Lord and the love and the fellowship that we can enjoy together and the blessings of God's love, but no doctrine. Well, I had been reading my Bible, and I remember thinking here this passage in 2 Timothy where he said, Paul warned Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And it's amazing how many people are put off by this concept of sound doctrine, or just the term doctrine. Well, doctrine is not a hard word. Doctrine basically just means teaching. What do you teach? And what do you believe? And why do you believe it? And that's probably been one of the big things that I want to do as a pastor and a Bible teacher, is I want people to And I mean, obviously we want people to get saved, but when people get saved, I don't want them to just stumble through life as a baby Christian that doesn't know anything, still stuck on the milk of the word, like is warned about in Hebrews chapter 5, I believe it is. I'll check that out here in just a second. But in Hebrews chapter 5, where I believe it's Paul writing here personally, but he says in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. He says in verse 13, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And the rebuke here that's being delivered is that there are people there who should be teaching the Word of God, who should be teaching people and training Christians for service so that they can go out and serve the Lord. I mean, God created us unto good works. He didn't create us just to sit around and warm a pew somewhere. He created us unto good works. Ephesians chapter 2 says that that's what He created us to do before we were ever saved. It was His plan. Before we were ever born, it was His plan that we would hear the gospel, get saved, and do good works. Not to get saved, but because we are saved. Not to stay saved, but because we want to glorify Christ in our life as a believer. What can we do to thank God for what He's done for us? Well, you know, it's kind of like the idea, what do you give somebody who has everything? God has everything. He has the heavens and the earth. You know, He has everything, the spiritual realm, the physical realm. He has everything. He created it all. What do we give Him? We give Him the one thing that He doesn't necessarily have, and that's our love. You know, He gave His, or shared His love with us in sending Christ. You know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. We understand that He gave His only begotten Son. We understand He loved us, but He wants us to love Him in return. And how do we show the love if we've trusted Christ as our Savior? You say, well, Pastor Al, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I love the Lord. He knows that. Well, how do we show it? We show it by doing good works. And here they're rebuking the believers here in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 and 12, because saying they should be teachers. They should have matured as Christians. They should have knowledge and understanding. But instead, he says in verse 13, or the end of verse 12 and into verse 13, they're in need of milk. They can't handle meat. Now, what would you think of a baby that was born? Of course, babies drink milk when they're first born. That's the way God designed things. And it has what they need, and it has what their digestive system can handle. And they don't have teeth. They can't handle meat. But as they grow and the teeth start to come in and the child grows and gains strength and maturity, eventually they graduate from milk to meat. And they can eat things that they couldn't eat when they were a newborn. Well, what would you say if you had somebody who's 20 years old and they're still, you know, on the milk because they can't handle anything stronger than milk? Well, you got a lot of Christians, and this is what Paul was saying to the Hebrews here, a lot of Christians who should be teachers, but they're still stuck on the milk. Strong meat, he says, belongs to them that are full age, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You need to learn doctrine. And that's why we're supposed to preach the Word, because it is the Word of God that God's given us that is profitable for doctrine. It says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine. Instruction, he says, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. My job is to help people learn what the Bible has to say. I want Christians to know what the Bible has to say and to understand the doctrine and to be able to eat the meat. Well, thanks for listening today. We're out of time. God bless. Have a great weekend.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.